And let's stand if you're able to. And let's give honor to the reading of the Word of God tonight, Psalm 127. My message tonight is a happy Christian home. Every married person that has ever came in contact, that I've ever came in contact, want a peaceful home and a happy marriage. I've never met one that says, "Man, I'm glad I got a craziness at my house. I'm glad that we're fighting and screaming and hollering and throwing pans and pots at me and rolling pins." I've never met a person that says that, except Tucker. But anyway, just kidding. Come on. Psalm 127. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain. That build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to set up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for he giveth his beloved. I'd write that down if I was you, brother. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. That should have a capital H on it. That's God says, I give you these children. They're a reward to you. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Father, I pray you'd speak to our hearts now. Lord, I pray you'd help us. Lord, there's a lot of people needing a lot of help in this marriage business. And Lord God, it's all in vain unless you build it. And so, Lord God, I pray you'd help us tonight. Give us wisdom that we know exactly what to do and what to say and how we ought to act. Lord, it is a blessed thing to be married to a godly woman or a godly man. It's a wonderful thing to be married to someone who loves you more than anything else in their life. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would help us to understand that and do more for you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The fact is everybody wants a good marriage. In fact, the creator and maker of marriage is God, and he does have a formula for a happy marriage, and it's written in his word. The Bible says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. You can put a lot of work into marriage. I see a lot of people put a lot of work into their marriage. But if it is not patterned, if it is not copied, or if it's not designed, or if it's not molded, or if it's not built, shaped, fashioned, or constructed, or duplicated by biblical principles, you're going to be wasting a lot of your time. Psalm 128, and if you look at there in your Bible, Psalm 128, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his way. I believe that when he wrote Psalm, the psalmist wrote 127, then he comes, you might say, this is the next page. And he says, now this is how you do it. Listen to what it says. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. The Bible says over in Ecclesiastes, it says, there's only two things that a man gets in life. The love of his wife and the food and the drink that he eats and drinks. That's it. I've been a pastor a long time. I've buried a lot of people. I've not seen a U-Haul behind a hearse yet. Till my friend was coming back from North Dakota and they saw a U-Haul behind a hearse. I said, I don't care what they did. I'm still going to say it. I've never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse yet. You don't take it with you. There's nothing that you will take with it. When you die, Alexander the Great said, when you bury me, make sure that people see my hands because I take nothing with me. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? We take nothing with us. But the enjoyment that God says in this life is the love of our wife and the food and drink that we eat and drink. So that's it. the wisest man of all the world, Solomon, King Solomon, who gave you Proverbs, Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes. Greatest wise man of all the world said this. He said, I've tried everything. He said, I've tried drink. I've tried food. I've tried women. I've tried song. And I've tried everything that my eyes could see and behold. He made his great zoos. He made his great water, baths. He said, I've tried everything. And I'll tell you what. He said, only two things you're going to get out of this life. The love of your wife. And the food and drink you consume. So that's true. I suspect us guys ought to be careful about what God has given to us and make sure that we make them as happy as they can be. I'm just trying to help you here. There's a lot of goony birds out there. They think they own their wife. You don't own your wife. She ain't chained to your sink. And girls, the Bible says it is your responsibility to love them. In fact, it says you have the older women in your church tell the younger women to love their husband and care for their children. You say, well, I don't like that. Well, let me tell you something. You're not going to be happy. Unless you do the things that the Bible says, you're not going to be happy. The Bible says it's in vain. All the things you tried, everything you do, if you don't do it in the principles of the Word of God, you're going to have a troubled time. There's a lot of people troubled today. A lot of people troubled. So I want you to note Psalm 128, verse 1 through 6. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be a fruitful vine by the side of thine house, and children like olive plants around about thy table. That's going to happen to your house here, brother. Behold, that thus shall the man blessed that feareth the Lord. Look at that. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. And thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. First of all, the Bible says to have blessed happiness only comes from fearing God. Fearing God comes from an inner attitude or the inner heart attitude which we show off by our outward walk or the way we walk, not what we talk. I see a lot of people talking a lot. But I don't see them walking what they talk. I hear them say certain things, but they don't live like that. They live opposite of what they talk. They only talk that way when they're around the preacher or when they're around their mother-in-law or their father-in-law. We have a walk outwardly when we feel her inwardly. Fear of our parents, fear of the man of God that God has set over us, fear of government, fear of those in authority. It is not fearing someone that is scaring you or lurking in the shadows or someone or a group of people trying to hurt you. It is one who looks out for the best interest and unwilling to let you get away with things that are bad or unhealthy for you. Just a child. You got candy. You got Brussels sprouts. I'll take the candy. As a child, we want our children to eat the good stuff. As a child, we want to eat candy and drink pop all the time instead of good vegetables and fruits and milks and bread and meat and all the good things we're supposed to eat. Hey, man, I just found out that chocolate is a vegetable. That's what they say. It's a vegetable. So I ate some vegetables tonight before I came to church. It is not good for our health. So what do we say to our kids? No. Because they fear you and because they're not going to get anything to eat anyway unless they eat what you give them, they begin to eat. Not because it doesn't taste good, but because they fear you, and they have to do what you tell them to do. You love them. I don't know about you, but man, I love my kids. I don't want to hurt them. I don't want to harm them. Talking to a guy that trains dogs, he said, I noticed that you don't beat on him. He said, why would I beat a $10,000 dog? He said, I want that dog to come on my command. I don't want to beat him. Same with our children. Our children are the most precious prize that God ever gives us. We don't want to beat them. I think that we ought to, my type of time out. I raised three boys, and I'll tell you what, our country has diminished. It used to be on the blinds, when you pull them down, there's a little wooden stick in the middle there. That thing stung, but it'd break if you applied it too hard. I wasn't doing that to hurt my child. I was doing them to discipline them to know that there is an outcome of their disobedience. By the way, that's why our country is in so terrible condition today, because the government said you cannot use force on your child. I think we ought to use force on our child, not excessive force. Man, that's my baby. Why would I want to hurt that baby? I'll tell you what, if you're hurting your baby like that, I'd like to take you out and just beat the snot out of you and let you know how it feels. I had one of my, I won't tell you who it was, but they had one of the, they call it, it's a glue stick. What do they call them things? What do they call glue sticks? Elmer. They call it Elmer. And he hooked that Elmer up. It's about that long. I didn't know you could buy one that long. And he whacked that little guy. I said, let me see that thing. And I whacked him across the leg. Man, he said, man, that hurt. I said, y'all think what that thing does? I mean, if you're getting 12 years old, all right, I can understand it. Not the little guy. Be careful. You're trying to raise some children up for God, amen. You're trying to raise them up. You don't hurt your baby. You want to help them. You want them to know that when they disobey, they're going to pay. I told a judge one time, I said, sir, let me tell you something. I was the president of the Firefighter Association. I invited a judge to our meeting and brought some of the stuff was just coming up in the 70s. And somebody said, what about spanking my child? And I said, judge, may I say something? I'm the president. I can say anything. Amen. I said, judge, I'm going to tell you right now, I administer to my children corporate punishment. And I said, you can put me in jail for doing it. But I'll tell you one thing. If you allow me to take care of my boy and take care of my boy's problem, he won't see you when he's 18 or 17, 18, and 19. He won't be in the JDC. And the judge says, President, I do the same thing and they can take me to jail too, because I'm telling you I'm not going to let my boy go to hell because I won't teach him right. There's a difference between meanness and discipline. There's a difference between hardness and tenderheartedness. Man, those guys are going to take care. They're going to choose my rest home someday. So I better be good to them. They're going to choose who my doctor's going to be. Some of the father they eat with. Listen, same as the Heavenly Father. God wants us to do right. I was telling some family that I'm the last of the nephews of my home. My other nephews took the wrong direction in life. They're all dead now. I'm the only one left. And I believe with all my heart that some of that is because that I have tried to stay in this Bible. I've tried to do what this Bible says. I'm trying to live by the laws of this land and live by the laws of the Word of God. It'll make a difference in your life. That is why God gave us the Ten Commandments. By the way, they're not the Ten Suggestions. God gave us the Ten Commandments. And He expects us to follow them. If we do not, we open ourselves to the Father of chastisement. That's why we have to be careful how we live and what we love. Tonight, If you are given a test on your marriage, how would you score? I guess I could say, if I was going to give a test tonight on your spirituality, how would you score? When people fear the Lord God, the Father, He promised a blessing to us. When we fear God and say, you know what, I'm going to do that because God said so, and I know that there are some things that could happen to me if I do not serve God the way I should. Listen to what it says, Deuteronomy chapter 11. Everybody's got to have a law. Somebody's got to be over us, whether we like or not. Somebody's got to be the leader. You turn 5,000 Air Force guys out there, and you don't have captains, you don't have sergeants, you don't have lieutenants, you don't have colonels, you don't have generals. What's going to happen out there? Chaos! By the way, same way in America. If you don't have a leader, you got chaos. I yelled across my neighbor. He's got his little 5-year-old out there today, and they're trimming up all the flower beds and everything. And I said to him, hey, haven't you heard about the child labor law? He says, well, in America, we don't have teeth law anymore. Didn't you hear? Laws were put there to safeguard us, to protect us from harm, protect us from hurting people. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18 to 22, God said that there are two things that we can do. Number one, we're to read the law. That's the Bible. Read the law. Number two, we're to keep the law. Listen to what he says. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be the frontlet between thine eyes. This is all trying to be graphic so that we can understand it. He says, yeah, keep the Word of God in your hand. Keep it up here, up in your brain. You think of what, when you're about to do something, remember what the Bible says. And ye shall, listen now, this is daddy now. This is for you dads. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. God said, you teach them these things. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gate, that your days, listen, I like this, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land of the Lord, swear unto your fathers and give them as the days of heaven upon the earth. God said, I'm going to tell you something. You start doing that, and your life on the earth is going to be heaven. How would you like to have a wedding like that, a marriage like that, a life in heaven? It's like a life in heaven. When you keep the law, when you're not fighting each other, hey, it says right there. And for if ye shall diligently keep these commandments which I commanded you to do them, to love the Lord your God and to walk in his ways and to cleave unto him. That's some pretty good stuff. We all like that one, don't we? Wow, I like that. Give a long life. Hey, we're going to, life on earth is like going to be heaven. Hey, boy, it's going to be a great thing. If you listen to law and do not keep it, he said, I'm going to curse you. Listen to what he said in verse 26. Behold, I will set before you a day of blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which is commanded to you this day, verse 28. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I have commanded you this day, and go after other gods which ye have not known. God said, I'm going to tell you something. You do what I tell you to do, it's okay. How many of you at home, you tell your children to do it, and they do exactly what you tell them? How many think there's a lot of peace in the home? Would you raise your hand? Yeah, there's peace in the home. Yeah, Johnny, take out the groceries, take out the garbage. Sally, bring the groceries in. Joey, clean up the mess in the backyard, and on, and they get it done. Everything's cool. Until that, I don't want to. I want to keep playing my Xbox. I want to keep doing my. No, I don't. Later. And Dad said, if I wanted you to do it later, I would have told you later, but right now I want it done. Let's go. Little did you know that he was going to take you to Dairy Queen. When you got it done, he's going to take you to Dairy Queen. Everything's happy. Man, it's heaven on earth. We'll go to Dairy Queen, amen? Has to be. Christianity, if you want to call it that, is a religion of promise, not threats. Why do you come by promise, not threat? The wife will be blessed. The children will be blessed. All these blessings come unto the head of the man. Joshua 24 and verse 15 says, and if it seem evil unto you that serve the Lord, chooses this day whom you serve. See, Christianity says this. We believe in free will. You have a choice. You want to serve God? Fine. You don't want to serve God? Fine. That's up to you. God will deal with you about it, but you have a choice. Same way as salvation. You're here tonight and you're not sure you're saved and you'd like to know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. Invite Him to come into your heart and save your wicked soul. He'll come in. All you have to say is, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Forgive my sins, come into your heart. That's all you have to do. And God says, I'll save your soul. But you say, no, God, I don't need that junk. You know what? God is a God of free will. Listen to what He says. This is Joshua speaking here. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood. And He's talking about the Red Sea. When they went down through the flood, went down through there. Or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But listen to what He says. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So you got a choice. You want to serve me? You want to serve the gods of the Amorites? You want to serve the gods of Egypt? Go ahead. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Why do you say that? Because He knew what the Deuteronomy said. Joshua knew what Moses wrote in the Bible. And he said, hey, you serve me, I'll bless you. I'll give you long life. Your life will be like heaven. But if you don't, God said, I'll curse you. Let me ask you this. You have a brand new bicycle. You have worked so many hours for this brand new bicycle. Whose bicycle is it now? Your bicycle. It's nobody else's bicycle. It's your bicycle. And a friend comes over who you know is very tough on things. And he said, hey, I'm going to ride your bicycle. What are you going to say? No, you're not going to ride my bicycle. Who said? I said, what? I bought it with my money. I threw newspapers for 3 months to buy this bike, and you can't ride it. Now, how many think that that's right for the boy that owns a bike? Can he do that? Would you raise your hand? Why? It's his. Now, let me ask you this. How did you get here? God. In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. Now, he said, let there be man. And He made man. And He formed him out of the dust of the ground. And I suspect the Creator still has a warranty or still has, what do you call that? When somebody makes something. Patent. I suppose He still has a patent on our DNA. Amen? So when God says, this is what I want you to do, what do you think we ought to do? Do what God says, amen? Who do we think we are? Jeremiah says, you crazy people. He said, you go out in the woods, you cut down a tree, and you carve an idol out, and you put him down and says, this is our father. But he says, not only that, you took some of the chippings and burned that and ate food out of it. And you took some of it and put it in the barn stall to keep the barn dry. And you call that your God? He called it a dumb God. He said He has eyes He cannot see, He has nose He cannot smell, He has ears He cannot hear, He has a mouth He cannot speak. Why would you serve anything else but the Almighty God, Jehovah? The man and his house said, we will serve the Lord. You see, the home, my friend, is the backbone of the local church. When a father is totally submissive to God, he is totally devoted to God. And when the father is totally dependent on his God, then God promises them to roll, the blessing will roll to him. Secondly, the happy home must be ruled, be a ruled relationship. Somebody's got to be the boss. Somebody's got to be the love and marriage relationship is not an option. Either is it a commandment, it's an obligation. Let me read that again. Love in the marriage relationship is not an opinion. Either is it a commandment, it's an obligation. God, when you get married, it's an obligation to love one another. Love must be constantly maintained. Constantly, like this stinking old gravel road we have out in front of our church. That thing has to be constantly maintained. You know what they call that tractor that has a blade on it? They call it a maintainer. It's got to be constantly worked at. Constantly worked. You can't just say, "Well, I'm married." No, man, it takes a lot of work. You got to keep it up. You got to maintenance. You got a lot of work to it. Amen. Love must be constantly maintained. Love is not based on physical attraction and how beautiful or handsome your husband or your wife is. That's not it. It is a responsibility for each of you to love them with all your heart. There is only one option in the marriage. You know what that option is? Love your wife. Ephesians 2:25. I'm not making this stuff up. It's in the book. Amen. Husband, love your wife even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Husband, love your wife. It's a command. Colossians 3:19. Husband, love your wife and be not bitter against her. He said, you love her no matter what. She may give you some indigestion. I guess that's the best word. You still love her. She's not you. She is her. She's an individual. She's so different than you are. She's so different. You have to be very careful how you love her. The Bible says that you be careful. You protect her. She's a weaker vessel. That's not saying something bad. It's just saying that's the way it is. That's the way God made us. Love is obedient. You older women are to teach the younger women to love their husband. Titus chapter 2, verse 4. That they may teach the young women to be sober. Getting married is not a crazy thing. It takes a lot of brains, amen? It takes a lot of things to keep everything going, amen? Come on, girls, I'm trying to help you here. To love their husbands, to love their children. Christian love is a characteristic of the love of God. Each one of us have a distinctive need. Everyone's different. All of us have a little distinctive need. I was talking to a young couple the other day, and they were kind of fussing. I said, let me tell you something, ma'am. I said, I want to tell you something. Your husband needs a mama once in a while. She went, yes, they do. God said that when he made woman, he made a man needs a help meet. That word in the Hebrew means a completer. Some of us never grow up. I don't plan on it. My grandkid said something to me and made me laugh. She said something to me. Yeah, that's me. Sometimes you got to be an older sister. Oh my goodness. Have mercy. If you had an older sister like mine. Sometimes they need a little sister. Sometimes they just need a cheerleader. No, all the time they need a cheerleader. We men are very simple. You can say that again. We don't need much. Loving and food. And sleep. That's all we need. In fact, the Bible says that's all you get in life, fellas. So you better enjoy what you get. We have so many people going around telling everything. Well, we're all equal. No, you're not equal. I know some ladies. They're so brainy, so smart. Let me just pull them apart. My wife used to be a bookkeeper for Shields. 18 years she was there. 3 years she won the national championship of being the most accurate bookkeeper for all Shields stores. That ain't bad. They flew her out to North Dakota, gave her these big plaques. Now, it'd be pretty stupid for me to say, no, I'm having a checkbook. Are you stupid? Why would I want to do that when she can do it? I mean, I've never seen anybody on 10 keys. She just sparks fly off her fingernails. Now, she'd have a deal like that, and she said, well, let me do it again. Same number at the end. Not me, man. It's like a lottery to me. Wow. See, hey, guys, just because you allow her maybe to go to college, I think you ought to. I think a woman ought to have every chance they get in the book to do anything they can. God has gifted us. Hey, you don't believe that? Go to Proverbs chapter 31. See what that woman did. She bought land. She was an entrepreneur. That's all she was. I mean, unbelievable what she did. And she was the queen's wife. But all the things she did. Are you kidding me? Don't you ever put down a woman. Raise them up, the Bible says. Love them. Care for them. Tender. Be tender to them. They're not like, hey, you guys go to sportsman's camp. You guys are really, you're gross. My wife raised 3 boys, and she would fuss at them all the time. Guys, don't do that. What was she trying to do? She was trying to get them to realize that there are certain things in life that ladies do not appreciate. Oh, yeah. It's the way we train our boys to know how to go to a tea party and hold our little finger up and drink tea and also go out and blast all those clay pigeons. We need to teach them those things. Teach them how to catch fish. Teach them how to go hunting. Teach them how to harvest the animals. We need to teach them that thing. Well, it comes from the fact that we are together trying to raise these boys up and get them out of the home and give them to your daughters. We don't want to give you any lame ducks. We want to give them real men that know how to tie a knot on a fishing line and know how to put a worm on a fishing hook and know how to throw that old line out, know how to catch a fish and know how to climb a tree and know how to fall down and bruise and not have mommy there. Go, oh, poor little Johnny. Poor little Johnny. Girls love scars. Don't you kid yourself. Amen. Thank you. Each one of us has a distinct need. I'll tell you one of the distinct needs that all of us have. We need to hear, I love you. I love you. We need to hear that. I tell my wife constantly, I love you, babes. I tell her, I say, Marcia, you're the most beautiful lady in the world. I told her this morning, I said, how did you get so beautiful? She says, I don't know. You know, she doesn't have much conversation much. Before I go to bed, I lean over and give her a kiss. And I always put chapstick on her left. I said, I got to keep that nice and good, baby. You say, but what's the purpose? That lady gave me 42 years of greatness. I swore to her father, who is my pastor, and my brother-in-law, the pastor. I swore to her mother. I didn't swear at her. I swore to her and her brother and 2 sisters and the congregation that sat out there at our beautiful wedding that I would take care of her in sickness as in health till death do us part. And I also swore to God that I'd do that. You say, preacher, it's not easy. I don't know anybody who has an easy life. Have you found any, Rick? You got an easy life? Well, your wife doesn't. I see who she's married to, man. You know, just none of us have it easy. No, it's not easy out there. It's trouble. The Bible said that the world is full of troubles and sorrows. Job wrote, he said, the troubles of this life are like sparks coming off a fire. We know that. But it sure is nice to come home to a wife that says, oh, honey, I love you. Hey, can I tell you a secret? My wife used to do this once in a while. She wanted to go out to eat. And so she'd take a whole onion, and put it in the oven at 350 degrees. About a half hour before I was getting home. I walk in the house. Ain't nothing like the sweet smell of onion. Amen? I said, man, I mean, I'm drooling. I said, what we got to eat? Well, honey, he says, I was just trying to make it smell good. I'd really like to go out to eat. What do you mean? Well, all they have is onion. Oh, let's go out to eat then. Yeah, that's a good idea. Good idea, honey. But she said, I love you. Everybody wants to be appreciated. In fact, one man said that everyone needs to hear appreciation 3 times a day. We need to tell her that she's the best wife in the world. We need to say please. We need to say thank you. And we need to teach our children that. Instead of expecting things, we need to appreciate the things that are done for us. Instead of expecting, we must develop this attitude to meet the need. We must develop our spirit to live sacrificial giving. I'm going to protect my family. I'm going to provide for them. I'm going to build them up. I'm going to take care of them. And let me tell you something. Love rules the relationship of marriage. It's got to be. You got to work at it. It's not an easy thing. It just doesn't happen. Just before you, one old guy, they were going to have a big get together, 25th anniversary, and Lars came out of the house, and he said, "Can you beat that?" He said, "My wife wants me to kill a chicken. What in the world a chicken got to do with that?" But anyway, Lars says, "You sure got a good wife, yeah." He said, "I don't ever see you telling her that you love her." I told her 25 years ago when we got married. I haven't changed. That boy needs some help, amen. I mean, it ought to be a lovey-dovey-dovey-dovey. Listen to me. The greatest thing you'll ever do for your children is you kiss your wife in front of them. Or you kiss your husband. I mean, just lick that old lip and just give a real old sloppy one at him. Amen. And all the kids will go, "Yee!" But deep down inside, you know what they're saying? Boy, Daddy sure loves Mama. I remember my daddy was a big buck. He's about 5'10½ man, big guy, big farmer, big hands, big arm, big chest. And my mama was a little old 4'11 girl. She was probably about 100 pounds dripping wet. He'd come in the house, go over there and wash his hands and his face, and he'd say, "Come here." He'd grab a hold of her like a little girl and hug on her and slobber on her, and all of us were going, "Yeah, yeah." But deep down inside, we'd been at school, and a couple of my friends said that Mom and Dad are getting divorced. I had no idea. I was riding with the sheriff's office a while back, and some guy said, he said, "I come from a broken home." He said, "I don't even know who my dad was." And I said to him, I said, "Deputy," I says, "I can't even, that doesn't even compute with me. I'm so sorry." He said, "What do you mean?" And I told him about the love story of my mom and daddy. He said, "Boy, I wish that would have happened in my life." You see, It's work, but God tells us it's what we're supposed to do. God tells us we're supposed to respect each other. We're supposed to, love each other. He says, "Hey, you know what? The marriage bed, it's all fair game. Except one is not comfortable with it, then we don't do those things. There are just certain things about life that we do. We want to be careful about that." I want to give you the last one. That's authority established in the home. The Word of God is the authority of the local church. Would you say amen? That's how we run Heritage Baptist Church. The Word of God is authority of our church. The pastor is given the authority to carry out the dictates of the Word of God. Thus saith the Lord God. The husband is given the leadership in the home, but the Word of God is the authority of the home, same as the pastor of the local assembly. So the pastor says, "Hey, folks, this is what the Word of God says, and let's get back into line." Amen? And we say, "Where does it say that?" And I said, "It says right there." And we all ought to say, "Amen." Amen. So at home, the husband, yes, is the leader of the home, but he must obey the precepts of the Word of God. And he may say, "You know what? I don't think we ought to do that." And Mama said, "Why not?" He said, "Well, this is what the Bible says." Now, because I said so, that don't cut it. So this is what I found from the Word of God. Honey, read it. And she's willing to comply to that because he is not, quote-unquote, the boss. God is the boss of our home. God's the leader of our home. And he must do it by the dictates of the Word of God. Just as the local assembly must follow the man of God headship and leadership and rank, it carries with the same responsibility. It does not mean that he is superior intelligence, though the world today says man has no intelligence at all. A leader is to take the opinion of each other, weigh it from the Word of God, discuss it, and then act it. That's true marriage. "Hey, we've got a problem here. Honey, we need to sit down about this. I see you doing this, and I don't think we ought to be doing that." And she says, "Why not?" "Well, I just don't think it ought to." "Well, let's talk about it." So they talk about it. And all of a sudden, the guy says, "You know what? I think I'm wrong." "Did you know it's okay to say you're wrong? You know, I think I'm wrong on this. Honey, I never thought of it that way. Okay, hey, I'm for it. I believe God will bless us with that." That is leadership in the home. Leadership is not, "All right, bless God, we're going to do it or die." No, leadership is saying, "What do you think about it?" You know Lewis and Clark, when they're coming through here, they got out here close to the Marias River. And they took a boat. "Which one do you guys think it's Missouri River? Which one do you think is this not the Missouri River?" And they voted. By the way, even York voted. Y'all know who York was. Yeah. By the way, so does Chicago Wheel vote. That's leadership. They said, "Well, we think it's this way." "No, I think it's this way." And they said, "Fine. The ones that voted go this way, we'll go this way, guys go there." And the guys that went up to Marias, great fishing, but it wasn't a good place to go. Amen. Almost got killed, amen, by the Indians. Native Americans. I'm calling Indians because I'm an Indian, so behave yourself. In life, we have a lot of competition. Let me be very strong in this point. Husband and wife are never to be in competition with each other. You hear me? Because in life, if the husband loses, everybody loses. You don't have competition in the basketball team. You got a center, you got two guards, and you got two forwards. If they win, they all win. Show me one basketball player out there to win the game. Ain't going to happen. You play together. You win together, you lose together. And by the way, if you don't play together, you're going to lose. You lose the best thing that God ever gave you in your life. I pray to God that we as Christians that love the Lord Jesus Christ with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength, say, "You know what? I'm going to try my best as a father to live according to this Word of God. I'm going to try the best I can as a mother to live the best way I can. I'm going to lead, but I'm not going to be a dictator. I'm going to lead, but I'm not going to be a tyrant." By the way, some of you girls can be tyrants. Silent treatment. "Honey, what's wrong? Honey, what's wrong? Did I do something wrong? Man, you drive me crazy, woman. Guy wants everything right there. Well, how much is it? That's what the guy says. And the girl says, well, honey, we really got a good deal on it. And, boy, I tell you, we've been waiting for the sale. And how much is it? Well, it's red and it's got some black in it and it's really nice and we really need this. But how much is it? Isn't that what a guy is? Bottom dollar man. The girl says, oh, honey, we're just going to love this. This is going to be so much fun. And you're going like, how much is it going to cost me? That's man. So we know that stuff. So we're very careful about how we entangle things. Two things a man goes to bed for. Yep, you're right. The first one, the second one, go to sleep. That's all he's there for. You don't know what a wife goes to bed for? First thing she wants to go to bed, she wants to download her computer on your fast drive. And on 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 and on. And she takes a breath, and you think, then she starts again. And by the way, Johnny needs a pair of shoes. They have to be red. And we had to buy some pencils today. And we got some M&Ms. And you're going like, oh my goodness, that's not what I'm here for. You got to understand this stuff. This is part of life. Man is not like man. What was that one book they wrote? Man is from Mars and woman is from Venus or whatever. That's some pretty funny stuff in there, amen. It tells a man has a one-track mind, a woman has a mind that looks like snakes all over, you know. We love that. That is why we love you so much, girls. You are so, I mean, you can have a different woman every night, same name, same body, same thing, but she can be different. Oh, yeah! And learning it with child. And then after she has the child, let her go about 40 years and she's about 40 years old and some very new stuff come on. You say, man, I ain't never been down this trail before. God made them that way. Love them. Don't cuss them. Love them. Find ways. And there is some ways you can find. Some ways. Just give her the cat the chocolate and run. That's all I'm telling you. But life is very interesting, and it's a lot of work. It just doesn't happen. By the way, you wonder why over 50% marriages end up in divorce? You want to know why? Because they don't do what this says. They don't do what the Bible says. They don't know. God bless them. Please pray for them. They're in some things in their life that they have no idea what to do now. My heart goes out to them. I've been a pastor here for 34 years. Years, and I'm going to tell you something. I've met a lot of people, and I've heard a lot of problems. I'm going to tell you, here's the answer to it all right here. There's the answer to it all. Find somebody that knows what they're doing. Find somebody that knows the Word of God. Let them show you the Word of God, how you ought to act, and most of all, how to react. That's the one that gets us, amen, and go through some life. I'll tell you what, I can save somebody some a lot of trouble, a lot of heartaches. If you could just help, let me help you. Let me help you. Because it's not what I know, it's what the Holy Spirit knows. Martha said, that's enough. We're getting up. We're going to leave. Let's stand and be dismissed. Amen. By the way, I want to help you. I want to encourage you. I want to love you. I want to do everything I can for you to get through this crazy life that we're living in. This is a crazy world that we live in. There's so much immorality. There's so much craziness out there that we need some help. Don't just say, I'll do it on my own. Get some professional help. Get some people that will help you to get through some of these difficult times in your life. Why fight it? Why not enjoy it? Why not have the best years of your life? From this day on, say, dear God, I'm going to live by the book. I'm going to live by the Bible. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to do everything I can. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving us and caring for us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the fact that You have not left us without information to help us. Lord, I pray that you just guide us and direct us. Help us, Lord, as we go about our business for you, that we be a help and encouragement to each other. Lord, I pray, especially for the older women, that they would teach the younger women to love their husband and care for their children. Lord, I pray for us men that we would help each other, Lord, to encourage each other to love our wives as Christ loved the church. Oh, God, please help us. And, Lord, tonight I also pray that if there's anyone here tonight not sure they're saved, not sure they're on their way to heaven, that tonight would be that night. And they'd call out to you and say, God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you died on a cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me right here, right now, at this spot. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask you a couple questions. You're here today and say, preacher, I'll be honest with you. If I died tonight, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'd go to heaven or not. Will you please pray for me? Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you. You know, there's a God that loves you so much. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross so that you could go to heaven. I pray that you'd invite him come to your heart today. Maybe here tonight and say, preacher, there's some things in my life. You don't have to raise it real high. Just let me pray for you. There's some things in my life I'm having some difficulty with. Let me pray for you. God bless you. Yes, 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 yes. Father, you see the hands of these dear, dear, precious people. Oh, God, I pray that you'd help them. Lord, you never intended us not to have a happy marriage. You never intended us not to have a happy home. You intended that for us. Lord, help us to know how to do that. And Lord, help us seek your guidance. Help us to seek out those who could help. Give us, Lord, the Word of God. Help us, Lord, as the Scripture today, as we started tonight, so we would read the Scriptures and we'd put it on our hands and put it on our foreheads. We would read the Scriptures that you would help us to get through this life together. In Jesus' name, you're here tonight and say, preacher, I'm going to be down front. You're here tonight and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm going to give you one opportunity, if you like, to come down here and I'll show you from the Word of God how you can know for sure you're saved. If you're a lady here tonight, we'll have a lady talk to you. If you're a man here tonight, we'll have a man talk to you. You're here tonight and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I want to know this. This may be the last time you ever get a chance to do that. Why don't you come to Jesus tonight? Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I want to know that. I want you to know that God loves you. He's given you an opportunity tonight to love Him. Father in heaven, I pray you'd speak to our hearts tonight. We thank you for all you've given to us. We thank you for this book that teaches how to do this, to love our wives, to love our children, to obey our parents, to walk close to you. Lord God, I pray tonight that you would use this time to speak to our hearts and our lives, that we'd walk close to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.